So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 10, Texts 33-35. And we're talking about the various branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. The 11th branch, the younger brother of Damodar Pandit, was known as Sankar Pandit. He was celebrated as the shoes of the Lord. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the next verse. Sadashiva Pandit, the 12th branch, was always anxious to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. It was his good fortune that when Lord Nityananda came to Navadvip, he resided at his house. Purport. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Leela, Chapter 9, that Sadashiva Pandit was a pure devotee and that Nityananda Prabhu resided at his house. Text 35. The 13th branch was Prajumna Brahmachari. Since he was a worshipper of Lord Nrisingadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his name to Nrisingananda Brahmachari. Purport. Prajumna Brahmachari is described in the Antya Leela, second chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who changed his name to Nrisingananda. While coming from the house of Raghava Pandit at Panihati to the house of Shivananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the heart of Nrisingananda Brahmachari. To acknowledge this, Nrisingananda Brahmachari used to accept as eatables the foodstuffs of three deities, namely Jagannath, Nrisingadev, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, second chapter, verses 48 through 78. Upon receiving information that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was proceeding towards Vrindavan from Kulia, Nrisingananda absorbed himself in meditation, and by his sudden activities, constructed a very nice road from Kulia to Vrindavan. All of a sudden, however, he broke his meditation and told the other devotees that this time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not go to Vrindavan, but only as far as the place known as Kanai's Natashala. Yeah. This is described in the Madhya Leela, chapter 9, verses 55 through 62. Nagora Ganodesha Padipika, verse 74, says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed the name of Prajumna Mishra, or Prajumna Brahmachari, to Nrisingananda Brahmachari, for in his heart Lord Nrisingadev was manifest. It is said that Lord Nrisingadev used to speak with him directly. Amaganata Varandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Milatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. This lovely section is what the very nice thing about Chaitanya Charitamrita is it's all about people. And so Prabhupada says that this is the graduate, the PhD study. It's even higher than the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is lauded in our tradition as our main text. This is actually the philosophy. But and this seems a bit light. It's just talking about this guy was that, and he was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Chaitanya changed his name. And so Prajumna has Prajumna Mishra, Prajumna Brahmachari, and then Nrisingadev. That's three names. So you have to remember all these names, and it's like anything. You go into any room, and you have to get to know people, and you have to remember their names and where they're from, so when you meet them again, you're not embarrassed. And they say, hello, and you go, oh God, do I know you? So we have to get to know all these people, but they've got three names. So, and it's not like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's stories with a lot of philosophy, very, very heavy philosophy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it's very dense philosophy. You have to have a real brain to engage with it. But this is just about devotees and devotees associating with each other. And that's why Prabhupada says that this is higher, because this is very difficult to do. It's a lot more difficult to sit in a room and read a book of philosophy and meditate on it one verse at a time over a period of 50 years and not have to deal with people. Dealing with people is a real trip. And dealing with them as a devotee, dealing with them as a Vaishnav, that's practically impossible. Now that might seem an extreme statement, but if we look at ourselves, if we look at how we act, how we conduct ourselves in the world, actually, are we practicing as Vaishnavas in all our dealings, 100%. Everywhere we go, our dealings in the supermarket, our dealings with our family, our dealings with our friends, our dealings with our enemies, the demons, the hogs, dogs, camels, asses, demons, rascals, fools, all these people. Why would we demonize people like that as Vaishnavas? So this is very beautiful association. It just talks about devotees associating with each other, and that these branches are all very important, all these associates, all these people, that they're all sacred to Lord Chaitanya, they're all friends, they're all special in some way, and it's pointing out some of their specialities. This is the 13th branch, Prajumna Brahmachari, and it goes on to talk about other branches. We've talked about Srivas previously, and Gadadhar, some of the big heavy-hitting names, but Haridas Thakur is still to come. These are big people, and extraordinary people. When we start talking about the association of devotees, the philosophy starts to become different. It's not just black and white anymore. It's not law. This is about the spirit of the law. So we get someone like Prajumna Brahmachari, who's a devotee of Nrisingadev. Well, we say that you should worship Radha Krishna. What's he doing worshiping Nrisingadev? That's a different religion. Yet it's not an issue for Lord Chaitanya. Murari Gupta is a devotee of Ram. He cried in front of Lord Chaitanya. He said, you talk about Radha Krishna. I try so much to worship Radha Krishna, but my heart is with Ram. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, then that's fine. That's pure devotion. Murari Gupta, one of his great devotees. It's a different religion. It's not the worship of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan that we're advocating. But is there an issue with that? Not here. That's very interesting. There's so much we have to learn from these texts about how you practice Krishna consciousness rather than what it is or what we think it is, but how we actually practice it when we meet people, when there's real people involved. Prajumna Das Brahmachari worships Lord Nrisingadev. I think this Lord Nrisingadev thing, you're taking it too far. You know, it's really Radha Krishna we worship, isn't it? You know, and that's a completely unnecessary conversation to have with someone who's already devoted, where their heart is so engrossed in service to Krishna, when it's a relationship of love. It's very inappropriate to have a conversation with someone of that order to try and reduce them to religion. The difference between religion and actual spiritual life. Religion is a material phenomenon, because it often is. It's often just rules and regulations. That's religion. There is no word for religion in our tradition, by the way. Religion is an English word, and it comes from an Abrahamic conception. In our tradition, we don't relate to it. We have Dharma is the nearest thing, and Dharma doesn't necessarily include God. It just means being good. Everyone has to be good. That's just common sense. So how do you treat people? Well, if this is the graduate study of the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by saying, this is the text for thoroughly honest men. Thoroughly honest men means dharmic, but it means a lot more than dharmic. It means people who know the truth, with a capital T. It means people who understand that they're not this body, that there's something else. That's the starting point of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is this at? This is a different order of this discourse altogether. And a hint is given by Krishna in the ninth verse of the 10th chapter of the Gita. And Krishna talks about bodhayanta parasparam katayantas tushanticha ramanticha. So where do the devotees get their bliss from, their pleasure, their ramanti? They get it from bodhayanta parasparam. Bodhayanta means sharing of realization. Gatherings like this where we discuss together, we hear some devotee talking about what they understand. And it's all our individual understanding of the text. And katayantas, we discuss pastimes of Prabhupada, of Krishna, of devotees, wonderful, inspiring stories of spiritual life. And by sharing these things, that's where we get our satisfaction from. That's the order of engagement of these devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They have taste for this. This is what they really like to do. This is what they hanker for. They hanker for the association of devotees. So this is considered one of the seed verses of the Gita. And it's essentially about Sangha. It's saying Sangha is essential. Sangha is where we get our satisfaction. And that's interesting. It means we get our happiness from it. If it doesn't make us happy, I can guarantee you won't continue to do it. No one continues, no one sustains an activity without getting something from it. And spiritual life is exactly the same. Our definition of spiritual life from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaipum Sampuro Dharmo Yato Bhaktiyar Hokshache Hoitikiya Pratyata Yayatma Suprasidati, the Atma, the Self, Suprasidati, must be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. It's a realization. Our acharyas understand that this is about being happy. If you're not happy at the end of it, if you're not happy at some part in it, you're not going to keep it up. Why would you do it? We don't get out of bed in the morning without the threat of happiness. Otherwise, stay in bed, it's warmer. So we have to be totally honest about who we are if we want to be devotees. Who are we? We want to be happy. And that's, religiously, in our mind, that's kind of, you don't admit that to anyone. What do you want? Oh, world peace and ending of poverty. Peace to all men and women. You know, that's our mood. We want to seem pious. But we want to be happy. You ask any child what they want. Happy. You want sweets? Yes. You know, what are the means of happiness? Very simple for kids. But sweets is only for happiness, satisfaction. We want it. So to deny that is to be dishonest. Our starting point to understand the Bhagavatam has disappeared. We don't understand ourselves. We want not only happiness, but we want Nityananda, eternal happiness. Not happiness, but Ananda, bliss. To deny that is to be silly. It's disingenuous. No one can take it seriously. So we don't want happiness. We don't want any kind of happiness. We want eternal bliss. Let's be honest about it. We glorify it. We chant about it. We glorify Nityananda, eternal bliss. Because we want a part of that. And that's what comes from association of devotees. And it comes from this level of association. And it's difficult to appreciate these relationships that these devotees have because they're not discussing, they're not engaging on the bodily platform. That's not their issue. Vasudev Dat, who's going to be mentioned, or has he been mentioned already? He's going to be mentioned in a few verses, and his brother Mukunda Dat. So Vasudev Dat is famous for getting leprosy, and as the disease was eating away his body, it would become infected, and pus would come, and maggots would come and feed on the pus and fall off, and he'd pick them up and put them back again. Because that was like their home. That's, you know, that was their place. That's fairly detached now when you think of it. You know, all things considered. So that's the level of association. They're the kind of people that Lord Chaitanya liked to associate with. They're the kind of people we like to associate with as devotees. People of such a high caliber. They have no interest in the things of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. And while they're in the world, while any of us are in the world, we have to deal with bodily things and we have to give the body some satisfaction. There has to be some beauty in our lives. There has to be some nice sounds, some nice sights. You know, otherwise you can't keep mental equilibrium. If you can't keep that, you can't practice spiritual life. So we have to maintain the body in a common sense way. And these people certainly did. But at the same time, they knew the place of the body. How many of us, if we got leprosy, would appreciate that fact? Very radical Kulananda. How many of us, if a difficulty like that came in our lives, we were told that we had cancer or that we had some other disease that was degenerative. We had X amount of time to live, because essentially leprosy is a death sentence. How many of us maintain our equilibrium? How many of us aren't afraid? How many of us don't freak out in some way? How many of us would be afraid that we'd lose our reputation because of how we would act? Because we'd be so afraid. And these people weren't afraid. How is that? And this is the level of engagement that these people, you know, we're not afraid because we understand that there's going to be suffering in this world, and we understand there's going to be death. We accept that right from the beginning. We're not rejecting it. We're not trying to avoid it. We're not looking for relief. We're looking for Krishna. Now, if we're going to Krishna for relief, we're looking for relief, not Krishna. Krishna's just a vehicle to get relief. So we accept everything that Krishna gives us as a gift from Krishna. Everything that comes to us is a gift from Krishna. In the first canto of the Bhagavad, in the teachings of Bhishma Dev, there's a lovely sentence hidden away in one of Prabhupada's purports. It says, any difficulty in the life of a devotee is directly the mercy of the Lord. Any difficulty in the life of a devotee is directly the mercy of the Lord. We don't take it as the mercy of the Lord. We take it as a horrible thing to happen to any human being, especially me. We get really annoyed. Or it's our karma, or it's that guy's fault, or if it wasn't for her, she annoyed me so much I got cancer. And that's all bogus according to this statement. And this statement is repeated over and over again in different places. Where Prabhupada is saying, there's another lovely passage in the Krishna book where Prabhupada says that everything that happens in it for a devotee, whether it be pain or pleasure, happiness, distress, fame or infamy, is a gift from Krishna. And he says, and our acharyas accept it as such. So our acharyas meditate like this. This is a meditation. We have to practice it. That when a bad thing happens, we see it as Krishna. And that's not how we see it. We don't see bad as good. We don't see, when we say bad, we've given the word bad to suffering, infamy, dishonor, these things. So when we talk about pleasure, pain, that's Krishna. Krishna gave me that. Yeah. I was asking for that, actually. And that's proof that God exists, because I asked for that and I got it, so God exists. And that's just, unfortunately, bogus. That's materialistic religion. And we all start like that, but we have to develop beyond that to get to this stage where we can actually associate with devotees. And when we meet these devotees, we recognize them. These are the people we want to associate with. It's just too easy to whinge in the world. We stub our toe. And I say, who put that chair there? God, whoever put that chair, they should be flogged. Arr. You know, our reactions to things are just very interesting. And what is it about the chair? It's a gift from Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. That's the response. How often do we say that when something bad happens? When you've developed your Krishna consciousness and you're looking forward to becoming a temple president and a GBC and a sannyasi and, wow, the heights of spiritual life. And then in the middle of it, you know, some girl bats her eyelid and then there's an incident. It's not a very big incident, but it gets out and, oh my God, and you're never going to become any of those things now. What's that? That's a gift from Krishna. It's not that guy's fault. It's not her fault. It's not your fault. It's not the guy who exposed it in the newspaper or whatever happened. It's not. It's a gift from Krishna. They're just all agents of Krishna. That's how a devotee meditates on the world. When the doctor says, I'm afraid you've got, you know, myeloma and it's terminal, the response is, thank you, Krishna. We have to practice that response. We have to get used to, as a sadhana, meditating, understanding the world as being a part of our relationship with Krishna. When a good thing happens, thank you, Krishna. When a bad thing happens, thank you, Krishna. Suffering is not bad. Happiness is not bad. The happiness we're talking about is not ananda. It's just material happiness. It's just relief from suffering. Suffering is the condition of the material world. And when we get a little relief, then we feel so relaxed and happy. And we go asking for Krishna for happiness, and we mistake Anand for this temporary relief. But that's what illusion is. Illusion is ignoring the fact that suffering is real. Suffering is part of life. It's necessary. It's just part of the cycle. When we come into the world, we have a bag of suffering and a bag of happiness around our neck. And every day you put your hand into one of the bags and you take something out. And whatever comes, comes, and you just accept it. Krishna, Krishna. Now today I'll get on like this and I'm going to be in pain all day, but sure, what can I do? But it's a gift from Krishna. And we transform the world into Krishna. Our acharyas see the world like that. They don't see the explanation for things to being Darwinian evolution or Einstein's theory of relativity, or it's that guy's fault. That's not how they see the world. They see the world in relation to Krishna. And all these other explanations may or may not be true materially, but they're not true spiritually. So they don't take them very seriously. They're explanations, but they're not very useful explanations. There's just no point in me pointing at someone and blaming them for all the problems of my life, because I've just taken leadership from that person who I already have declared I disagree with fundamentally. So I'm going to lead a very poor life underneath that person. My meditation will be, "You're a bastard." And as we meditate like that a lot. This person, that person, and this person makes me happy, this person makes me sad, and all that. That's not how the world is actually working. That's an illusion. That's turning away from the actual facts of just of the material world, what to speak of the spiritual world. If we turn away from suffering and pretend it doesn't exist or think it's bad or wrong, it has to be eradicated, then we're ignoring the facts of life. We're turning our back on a fact, on a reality. And we're looking towards temporary happiness and inviting it in and just trying to make everything beautiful and block out the bad and all that kind of stuff. It's just not real. Neither of them matter very much in the bigger scheme of things. So Vasudev Dat, he doesn't miss a beat when he gets leprosy. He doesn't stop being a devotee. He doesn't lose faith in Krishna. He develops his faith in Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya comes, he doesn't ask him to cure him. He just wants his association. He just wants to be near him. He just wants an opportunity to serve him. He's developed a level of internal detachment. It's not that the material world has stopped being a horrible place. It's not that there's a disease not eating up his body. It is. He's in pain. But he accepts that. That's not his issue. He's not going to ask Krishna to take that away, because that's a gift from Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya came and took it away. It wasn't his desire, that was Lord Chaitanya's reciprocation. That's a different issue. That's up to Lord Chaitanya. So that's a very high level, we could say, of consciousness, but it's eminently achievable if we meditate like this, if we practice it. When difficulty comes, it's not we say, turn to Krishna. So what do? We turn to Krishna and say, take the difficulty away. But maybe Krishna gave us the difficulty. If Krishna just takes it away, if he gave it to us so that we could actually advance in Krishna consciousness, and then we're asking him to take it away, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're saying, give me Krishna consciousness, and the fire starts, the fire of Krishna consciousness, so we put it out. And then we say, oh, I don't know, I don't feel any Krishna consciousness, give me some Krishna consciousness. And the fire starts, and we go, oh. And Krishna's going to put a fire underneath us, and we're going to be purified. And it's going to be difficult. You know, when we turn up that heat, that purification, we practice Krishna consciousness, it's like boiling the ghee, and all the impurities come to the surface, and it doesn't look good. As we begin to see ourselves, we don't look very good. As you become a bit pure, you see yourself for who you are, you see yourself as other people see you. That's never good. There's the Scottish poem, Scottish poet Robert Burns said, "I pray to God the power to guide us to see ourselves as others see us." And it's a tremendous gift to be able to see it, but it's a bit freaky. It's not nice when someone gives you feedback. Sometimes it's very difficult to digest it, and you think, "Am I Am I like that? Oh my God. And as we develop in spiritual life, we begin to see ourselves and we realize, oh my God, I've been like that all my, oh my God, everyone's always seen me, oh my God, that's terrible. And we have to get over that. Isn't it funny when you see someone looking in a mirror, someone who isn't very attractive, kind of doing their hair, all that kind of stuff, and you're thinking, you're wasting your time. But they don't think like that. And that's where we are in our spiritual life. You know, we're doing all these little religious things, you know, and we're following some rules and regulations. So it's like Mataji very beautifully chants the mantra, but she drops an A in the first three words, because that's what Bengalis do. Srinasringa upashak, not upashaka. But some of us will feel, no, we have to keep the A in because that's right. And we think that, oh, you know, now I'm doing the right thing. It's not only is it not the right thing, because she actually speaks Bengali and the rest of us don't, so we have to follow her. You know, but it's a stupid way to look at the world. It's impersonal. You go to the person, the person's been invited to lead, therefore they are the leader, we just follow the leader. It's as simple as that. We create rules, we impose things, trying to do the right thing, kind of get ourselves in the right line and do a bit of astrology so we know what's going to happen tomorrow, so we go that. Swami one time, and we were talking about astrology, and he says, I can do astrology. He says, I can do the best astrology. And I said, oh, okay. I said, show me. And he took my hand, and he said, oh, I'll read your palm. And he goes, this is your lifeline. Here it says, you're going to have some suffering and some happiness, and some suffering and some happiness, and then you're going to have some suffering and some happiness, and then you're going to die. And that's about it. That's astrology. That's palmistry. That's, you got it. And religion, all the rules and regulations and the things that keep us pure. You know, so pure, to go on the altar pure. But doesn't mean pure to associate with Vaishnavas pure. You get many Brahmins who are very pukka but can't associate like this. This is a different thing. Different level of purity. So religion isn't something we're very interested in Krishna consciousness. Sorry to say. We're interested in spiritual life. We're interested in love, because that's how you get happy. So when we chant, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita, it's not very jolly. It doesn't even sound religious. It's too jolly. What's our liturgy? It's very interesting. We have two liturgies, two religious processes going on every day. The puja on the altar, which is very religious, very rules and regulations, and, you know, Om Bhat Swaham, Govindaya Namaha, Sri Narayana Namaha, blah, 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 and all that. And then this totally spontaneous kirtan thing. So this is not at all spontaneous. This is exactly as they've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years. But this other thing is someone standing and someone starts singing. No one asked them. It's just someone just starts singing. And then this whole thing starts and it's spontaneous, it just comes out of the heart of all the devotees. So two completely different religious processes going on at exactly the same time. Very interesting. And we don't take that one too seriously. We take the deity seriously, so we want to worship them as nicely as possible. So we follow all these rules and regulations to make sure everything's okay. We don't enter the room without announcing ourselves, and we have that kind of respect. But in terms of the real worship of Krishna, it's kirtan is our religion. It's a spontaneous outpouring of love. That's what kirtan is. It's a heart-to-heart exchange. It's not, there's no rules and regulations. Nam namakari bahuda nijasarava shaktis. This energy is not dependent on rules and regulations. It comes from the heart. Lord Chaitanya gave us this ability to worship Krishna without having to worry about religion. But what he wants us to do is act on the platform of the heart. And we can't, if we are truly acting as a devotee, then we can do anything in the world. because the intention is pure. Yet we do everything, and we're not yet fixed up in the heart. And we do it in the name of Krishna, and we get into trouble and get our movement into trouble. So this kind of association that they're talking about here, these people, you know, who are Prajumna Mishra, Prajumna Brahmachari, Nrsinghananda Brahmachari, whoever. But he's mentioned here for a reason. All these people are mentioned here. They're significant people that we should offer our respect to. We should pray to. We should get their benediction. Prajumna Mishra is, Brahman. So he's a Brahman. Haridas Thakur is a Muslim. There's all kinds of people in here. It's very interesting. There's no caste issue. There's no issue of gradation. Everyone is available to serve Krishna. Everyone who's in this tree. And we're in this tree. We're maybe not branches, we're twigs. Little twigs and leaves fluttering in Lord Chaitanya's wind. Krishna, Krishna, hurry, hurry. And we have a part to play. And we're being noted, like all these people are noted. We're being noted. We've put our hand up and we say, I would like to play a part. And that's all Krishna's interested in. He's just looking for volunteers. Anyone who puts their hand up, before you've even stretched it out, Krishna's yanked you. And, you know, given us more service than we could do in six lifetimes. It just seems so intense. Because there's so much to do, and so few people putting their hand up. Krishna is giving us a real opportunity. And what's our qualification? These are qualified people. What's our qualification? Just the fact that we put our hand up. Just the fact that we were desperate enough to cry out with a little sincerity. And when that happens, everything changes. Then we're in Krishna's camp. Then Krishna takes care of us. Then any difficulty in the life of a devotee is directly the mercy of the Lord. Then that is true. We are eternal servants of Krishna. That's who we are. That's not something we're aspiring for. It's who we actually are. And we think, oh, I could never be a devotee. Oh, I'll never be a devotee. I'll never be a pure devotee. We are pure devotees. We are full of bliss and knowledge. This is a fundamental tenet of our philosophy. And we spend most of our time arguing with that point, explaining to ourselves and anyone who's wishing to hear how we could never be a devotee. We're so unqualified. We're so impure. Thereby debarring ourselves from being who we are, denying who we are. We have to practice being who we are. Practice this fact that we have turned to Krishna. We have declared ourselves. Krishna has accepted us. Krishna has always accepted us. There's never a time when Krishna rejected us. Krishna loves us. He's always loved us. This isn't a new thing. This is another essential tenet of our philosophy. There's two of them. Krishna is God, full of love. Anand, the reservoir, the place from which it all flows. He's only interested in love. When he looks at us, he only loves us. He's not interested in all the stupid things we do. He's not a small-minded person. He has no interest in all our material blah, blah, blah. And nor our material excuses or our material dilemmas or our material sufferings. He doesn't take any of that seriously because it's all so temporary. He's just waiting for us to wake up so that we can have our relationship again. So Krishna is God. And we are eternal servants of God. These are the two most basic tenets of our philosophy. That's the basis on which a kirtan can take place. We're chanting Krishna's name because he is our beloved. We're only practicing that. We don't feel it yet, but this is our practice. We know it. We accept it. And we are eternal servants of Krishna. Now we have to start acting like that. That's how we'll realize it. If we only do eternal servants of Krishna at between 4 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock, you know, and then in the evening we do another bit of eternal servant of Krishna. You know, and on Sundays we do a big eternal servant of Krishna. That's not the practice of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means we are always eternal servants of Krishna. Even when we're in Maya, we're eternal servants of Krishna. Sometimes you just everything gets so much and you just have to watch a movie, eat a bar of chocolate. It's not the essence of our life. We don't take it seriously. We take Krishna seriously. We get on with life. We lead a life of common sense. There has to be a balance. Sometimes you need a bar of chocolate. Why? Because everyone is just on your case. And it's just so bloody dreary. And it's just grey. Have you noticed it's only grey? There's no sun and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we just get so low and tamasic that it's like... So you choose your maya. You organize 10% of maya into your day. Use your common sense. You're going to be in maya anyway. You know, organize our beauty. Make it as sattvic as possible. That's the best we can do. A pure devotee acting in the world acts sattvically, because you have to act some way. It's a material world. There's material things that go on. They have to go on. So whatever our needs are, fulfill those needs and keep them in check. But just don't lose sight of the fact. Practice every day saying, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Look in the mirror. You know, they do these motivational stuff, you know. I am confident. I am strong. I am, you know, Superman and all that. You know, but you can look in the mirror and say, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. That's our motivation. Because that's who we are. We just have to remember who we are. And then we can begin to appreciate the kind of pastimes that happen here, the kind of association, the kind of... Because when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it just doesn't read right sometimes. Lord Chaitanya kicks someone in the chest. That's just wrong. It's violent. It's abuse of some kind. You know, disciple abuse or whoever that was. But it's also part of a relationship. You get a relationship, like Prabhupada told the story of, he was sitting with some of his friends outside his shop, and they were talking about Krishna and different things, and his son came up and climbed up his knee and started to climb up and put his feet on his knee and was trying to climb around his head. And the other gentleman said, oh, don't put your feet on the Vaishnava. And his son stopped, looked at them and said, this is my daddy. It's relationship. Relationship is more important than anything to us. If Krishna is God and we're an eternal servant of God, what's the other third most important thing to us in our whole philosophy? Is the relationship between the two. The fact that we can have a relationship together. Krishna wants to have a relationship with us more than we want to have a relationship with him, without doubt. Otherwise, we would have one. He wants to have one. We're a bit iffy. Yeah, I have a relationship. And this death thing, can we talk about that? You know, can we sort out some of the suffering stuff? I don't like suffering. I don't like pain. If I become your devotee, can I have less pain? And if Krishna doesn't do the deal, maybe we'll go somewhere else. Maybe there's a deal to be done somewhere else. That's religion. It's not spiritual life for us. The relationship with Krishna is everything to us. That's all we do this for. To have the formal relationship with the deity, there's a prescribed method. That's why we do the arti, so that we do the relationship correctly. We approach it with the proper etiquette. All these rules and regulations are an etiquette of communication with Krishna. How to communicate with that etiquette. And if we're not so into etiquette and we need rules and regulations and we're not so priestly and all that kind of stuff, then just chant Hare Krishna. That's it. Done. No rules and regulations. We have all kinds of options to communicate with Krishna, to have our relationship with Krishna. But it's all about relationship. Relationship with Krishna, relationship with the devotees, relationship with the innocent people, relationship with demons. That's the consciousness of the Madhyam Adhikari. It's all relationship. If we're not focusing on what it is to have a relationship, and we can't even have a relationship with the people who stand next to us, we're not even succeeding on that level. What to speak of a relationship with Krishna? That's why this association of Vaishnavas is so important. The association is through our relationship with Krishna. By having a relationship with Krishna, we can have a relationship with the Vaishnavas, with the non-devotees, with anyone. We know who we are, so therefore we know how to relate. If we don't know who we are, we can't relate. We're making it up as we go along. Or someone's written a rule book that if you're a policeman, you relate like this. But who identifies that I am a policeman with my eternal constitutional identity? That's just silly. So to think that I'm a man, that's also silly. I'm going to be a man for 80, 90 years, something like that, if I'm lucky. And then I have no idea what I'm going to be. So to take this seriously isn't going to be a good idea. Take the fact that I'm Irish seriously. I mean, no one else takes it seriously. Why should I take it seriously? So we can become Krishna conscious because we are already Krishna conscious. We need to understand who Krishna is in our lives. And that relationship needs to become the primary focus of our attention. We have to massage that relationship. We have to feed and nourish that relationship as much as possible. Because then the possibility of happiness, the happiness we want, eternal happiness, is there. And it all happens through relationship. Every relationship in our life is important. They're all gifts from Krishna. No matter how terrible they may seem, they're there to help us learn how to sacrifice, learn how to love. And we have to take advantage of each and every one of them and see them as Krishna. And the response to any difficulty, we have to practice this, is thank you, Krishna. And we may not at all mean it in our mind. We might be going, no, I don't thank you. I don't thank you at all. If you really love me, you wouldn't treat me like this. I don't know if anyone saw Stephen Fry on the television, this tirade against God. This stupid God who causes suffering in the world. I hate him. Total emotional rant. No logic, no intelligence in the discourse at all. He just doesn't like the idea of someone who's bigger than him and can cause suffering and death and all that kind of stuff. That's not what Krishna does. We do that. But he just doesn't like the idea that these things happen to him and God is there enjoying. We create our suffering. We create the karma that causes our suffering, not Krishna. Krishna just gives us the gift. He wipes out our karma and says, okay, let's start again. Everything from now on is a gift from me. Take it as a gift. Yet poor old Stephen has disassociated himself from that gift. And he rails in an emotional way against God. And I understand that. I feel like that sometimes too. You know, when things get really rotten, they say, thank you, Krishna. You know, sometimes it's difficult to practice it. But I'm not going to disassociate myself from this reality. I'm not going to stop thanking Krishna. I'm not going to pretend that it's not a gift from Krishna. I'm not going to emotionally respond in that way. It's not healthy. It's not rational at all. This is a person who claims that God doesn't exist and can't intellectually prove that God doesn't exist. No one can. You can't intellectually prove God doesn't exist. So to make the statement that God exists means that I don't believe in rational thought. And the proof is, his argument is emotional. It's not rational. There isn't a good rational atheistic argument. It's generally emotional. I don't like an authoritarian figure. I don't like suffering. That's what they're saying. Simple point. I'm totally with them. But it doesn't mean that that's a basis of rejecting God. That's a basis of getting wise, looking deeper into the issue. So if we can nurture our relationship with Krishna much in the same way as this whole chapter is nurturing us, it's giving us a metaphor of gardening. It's a tree. And our relationship with Krishna is a plant. And we have to nurture that plant. We have to water that plant. We have to feed it. And we feed it and water it by chanting, by being attentive to other devotees, by being attentive to everyone we meet on the planet. Every single person we meet is eternally a servant of Krishna. And we don't reject anyone. Anyone can change overnight. They can go from being a demon rascal fool into being a pure Vaishnava. The stories are in our books. Lord Nityananda, even though he was attacked, even though blood was drawn from his head by Jagai and Madai, he still demanded of Lord Chaitanya that, no, we have to save these people. This is the mark of our Sankirtan mission. We don't reject anyone. That's a big ask. But that's what relationship means. And we have to give to the relationship, not expect people to give to us. When Lord Chaitanya says, Amanina madanina kirtaniya sadahri, he says, don't expect respect from anyone and be ready to offer all respects to others. This is exactly what he means. Be ready to accept everybody and accept whatever they give us. When someone comes and asks, you'll say, you're just a blah, 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 blah. They're asking for respect. Kashmiri Pandit came to Vrindavan and said, you know, I want to debate with Rupa and Sanatan. And they just looked at him and saw someone who wanted respect. So they say, what's the end game? Well, I win and you sign this document. Well, let's sign the document. They signed the document and gave it to him. It thrilled to bits. They didn't care for respect. They don't care about reputation. They just care about the relationship with Krishna. And this guy is just going to waste their time. Where they go into this debate with someone who just wants something from them that they don't care about, so just give it to them. Give people the respect they want. If they come demanding this and that, and you're this and that, and don't worry about it. That humility will touch them in the heart. They won't be able to admit it at the time because of false ego. But that exchange is extraordinary. You don't meet people like that. You don't meet people that don't care about material things and are willing just to give them up like that. It does make you wonder, what else do they have? Humility is the most powerful tool in preaching. It's the most powerful facet of relationship. And that's why Lord Chaitanya tells us that. Don't expect respect for ourselves. That's very difficult. That's very difficult to do. Our identity is so strong that we demand people. You know, I've been in the movement 6 months longer than you. How dare you look at me like that? Sometimes we don't say it, but it's going on in the head. And to give respect to everybody, if someone comes and demands respect from you, the last thing you want to do is give it to them. As a point of principle, you don't give it to them. You make their life a misery. I remember this Swami, a newly initiated Swami came to, we had a little farm in Ireland, and we didn't meet Swamis. No one came to Ireland. This was a farm on the west coast of Ireland. No one went there. So this Swami came to visit. And the devotee, the temple president, was a bhakta. It wasn't even initiated. And this devotee came, and it was a festival, and all the devotees came. And the temple president came out. They'd gone out of their way to arrange all kinds of nice things for him and all that kind of stuff. They'd really gonna. And then they went up and says, "So we've organized this. Your room is over here, Prabhu." And he said, "Actually, I'm not Prabhu. I'm Maharaj." And this devotee just looked at him and said, "Okay, Prabhu, Maharaj, Prabhu." I was standing beside it, and I couldn't help laughing. In fact, everyone laughed. And it was just, you know, it was just two false egos. And just sad. It's just exemplifying what it means not to be a Vaishnava. It's not easy to be a Vaishnava, but it's very possible. Just means we have to focus. We have to understand who we are in relation to Krishna. I'm eternally a servant of Krishna. If we really understand that, we're not threatened by anyone. No one can threaten that identity. That's who we are eternally. It's unthreatenable, eternally. No one can take it away from us. And once we feel comfortable and confident in that, that's where we get our self-esteem from and our self-confidence, from who we are. You can't be self-confident in a self that doesn't exist, or is a phantasmagoria, or is just Maya. We can be self-confident in ourselves. Once that confidence begins to develop, then no one can touch our relationship with Krishna. And anyone who comes and wants anything from us, respect, take it. And we don't expect it for ourselves because we know it's an inconvenience. Getting respect is an inconvenience. So relationship is perfectly possible. And if we have those relationships with Krishna and with the devotees, we can fulfill our role as being a little twig in the tree of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And I wish that upon all of you. Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.